With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Dangerous people, Jessica. This is not your world.
I know what I'm doing. Carl Jeffries was shot 3 times. I'm just trying to find out why.
Bobby thought it'd be a good idea to keep an eye on her.
Wake up! She's keeping an eye on you!
Do you really think I'm capable of murder?
What do you do for Pat McGann?
Pearson, Season 1, Episode 4 is over! And if you're ready to hear us talk about the deputy mayor, then suits yourself! I'm Rob Sisterino, back here with the guy who gets all your signatures. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. I just finished canvassing the neighborhood looking for those signatures that you talked about.
Oh, and, boy, are our feet tired.
That part, you know, I've actually been looking for subscribers still because I'm still pushing Recap Kickback. Like, it's, you know, I'm like a drug pusher, Rob. It's what I do. Well,
yes.
I'm not drugs, you know, specifically, but I'm like a drug pusher, you know?
Right.
But similar.
Right.
Yeah, definitely not a drug dealer, but, you know, I'm a pusher, Katie. That's all.
Okay. All right. So this was the deputy mayor where, was this a new character, the deputy mayor? Have we seen him before?
Yeah, we never met Lloyd before.
He showed up.
And I guess that's very, you know, indicative of like a vice president, deputy mayor situation where it's like the president, the mayor, they're the face of this organization and everybody only cares about what they think about things until they're gone. And then the VP or, you know, the deputy mayor wants to step in and actually start to do their job. And everybody's like, wait, who left you in charge? Why did you end up here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like in this universe, the deputy mayor of Chicago has been around for a while, but he's very much a figurehead. You know, he's there to do photo ops and do just like kind of goofy stuff around the community.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually get any say so in the governing of Chicago.
Yeah, it seemed like that because the mayor is so young that this was sort of like where that they wanted to put like a more like senior person with him. I mean, kind of like when like, you know, Obama was like running and they're like, okay, well, like he needs like a more senior vice president to be then like to show them the ropes.
Yeah, this happens a lot of times on political tickets. You know, you get like old white man, and so you have to balance him with some type of minority that's going to get the minority votes.
Hmm.
And so this time you got young white man. So it's like, okay, what minority can we go to?
That's not what this is, right?
Man. This is definitely the same concept, right? Oh, no, you talking about me and you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably. But no, I wouldn't think that at first glance. No, I'm joking. But no, this was definitely them saying, we need somebody to get the old person's vote, the people who have been here for the history of the Chicago, right? Of like the people who've been here since day one. They don't want some young kid telling them about their city. This is a city that has a rich heritage, and we need somebody who understands it and who has been in the trenches, who's seen the city grow into what it is. We need Lloyd. I don't think I caught Lloyd's last name, but Deputy Mayor Lloyd is what I've been
I'm sure we could find it. The Suits Wiki is very extensive. Like, they have very like thorough recaps of everything. Lloyd Triple.
Deputy Mayor Triple.
H. Richard Green.
Yeah. H. Richard Green, who I don't think I know. Have you ever seen this man before?
I don't know. Have we ever seen H. Richard Green before? H. Richard Green, looking on his IMDb.
Okay.
H. Richard Green. I guess he was on Mad Men for a bunch of episodes.
According to Jim, Ally McBeal, Boston Legal.
Veteran actor.
Yeah, he had like 98 through like 2000 or something like that, like locked up. He was making all the shows. But even I'm looking at back in the 80s, even he was everywhere. I the Jury, Hill Street Blues, Fame, Matlock. This man has been all over the place. So if you're looking for a veteran, a deputy mayor that is like seasoned, this guy has you know, he has the pedigree.
He's good. Little bit of a spoiler from after going to his IMDb. Apparently, he is in just this one episode. So don't expect the deputy mayor to be having a big storyline.
No, 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 no.
I kind of thought he was going to be like a new character.
No, I did not. A lot of these episodes have been named after the one-off character that we get. We saw the alderman. We saw the deputy mayor this time. I can't remember what the second person we got, but superintendent. You know, so I've been seeing that pattern. We get like a monster of the week. And this guy, he was this week's tackle for Jessica. But Jessica never even comes in contact with the deputy mayor. This is more like a side quest
for
with
Derek,
the deputy mayor, Derek, and Carrie. Carrie, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we didn't even see Bobby in this episode. He's off at the Mayo Clinic with his wife as she is getting some treatment for her MS, which is being kept a big secret here at City Hall. So could I go to the end of the episode? Can we talk about, like, the, I guess, headline here? So at the end of the episode, we saw Nick, okay? We got a little bit more information about the big murder that we were looking at all throughout the season, where we see that Jessica is investigating what's going on with Carl, the man who was murdered, and that we got to see his photos. And we see at the end of the episode that Nick goes to church. Jessica goes to church too, but Nick goes to confessional and he talks to the priest. And then he's talking about a man that he killed. And he says, Tommy Deal didn't deserve to die. This is a different person.
Yeah, I'm like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, who's Tommy Deal? Yeah, what's the deal with Tommy?
I wanted to Google it, but I was like, oh, I guess that might be a spoiler.
Yeah,
I thought maybe we had seen this person, their name had come up before, and maybe like we know him, but I don't think we do. Do we know him?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah. Like, it felt like a random name, but even, did you notice that the priest kind of looked like Tommy Deal? Like, you know, I don't know if the priest was just not expecting Nick D'Amato to say a name, or, you know, maybe he wasn't picking up where the confessional was going, but Nick D'Amato says Tommy Deal didn't deserve to die, and Father, whoever that is in the little box, it looks at him like, what? And then, like, we see Nick walk out, and I'm thinking, okay, so there's another murder that we have to uncover, because we got to the bottom of the Carl Jeffries situation in this episode, it seems.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, I thought, like, okay, yeah, likely story of, like, okay, he owed people money and then he was like showing off his brand new car. But it does seem like that story ultimately seems legit, right?
Yeah, we don't have any reason to believe that it's not, you know, because for a second, it did. I was thinking the same thing you were thinking, like, what? This is too cute. You know, Jessica goes and there's like, yeah, he was in with bad people. It was a drug deal and he owed some people some money. He bought a Range Rover and they killed him. And she's like, that didn't happen. But then she goes over to Nick D'Amato and he basically says the same thing. Like, everybody is saying the same thing. Like, nah, it's not that deep. You know, this guy died at the hands of drug dealers because he was into some shady stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Let's move on. So I think they do that to kind of show us Jessica making her rounds, her investigating. They just kind of use it as a vehicle to tell all these other stories, because the real mystery is what happened here with Tommy Deal. Now, does the Carl Jeffrey things come back to be a bigger issue? I just don't see it. I feel like this episode did a really good job of wrapping all that up. I felt very comfortable with saying that by the end of this, Carl Jeffries is dead and it was nothing to do with Nick D'Amato. Except for Nick D'Amato did pay him off. We know that much.
Yeah. So who's Tommy Deal?
No clue. And I guess that's our big mystery. Maybe if this is all a big flashback, maybe Tommy Deal's the guy from the photos in the first episode. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. But yeah, I guess we're just like, it's hard to get us like invested in this murder or this mystery if we don't even know who we're talking about.
Right. Exactly. Which murder should we be invested in? That's the question.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about what Jessica is up to here in this episode. We see Jessica with Jeff Malone a little bit. We had seen her leave a voicemail for Jeff Malone, but we actually got to see DB Woodside in this episode.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, Jeff Malone's back. I'm not disgusted by seeing him. At least I wasn't for like 5 seconds. And then I was like, all right, Jeff, you know what? You're back to your old tricks.
Can I tell you something? So I kind of forgot. So he was like talking to her about like, he's like, hey, where are you? Are you at the lobby of my hotel? She was like, well, I can't get over there. He's like, well, like after those pictures I sent you, I was like, oh.
Yeah, nasty.
Jeff Malone. I was like, yeah, oh, you know, the pictures of the dead body.
The dead guy, right. Because she's like, Jeff, for heavens to Betsy, I'm in church. Mm-hmm. He's like, girl, what you doing in church, girl? You know you don't go to no damn church. I was like, Jeff Malone, you nasty man. But at the beginning of this episode, Jeff Malone is still back to his old tricks. He's like, Jessica, you need to tell me these things. You need to let me know. I'm worried about you. You need to stop doing these things. Jessica's like, leave me alone. I'm grown. I make my own decisions. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I do what I want. And so by the end of it, it does feel like her and Jeff Malone are on the same page, but I'm still not all in on the relationship. I'm sorry. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Jessica, Jeff Malone?
It just doesn't feel like... It feels like Jeff Malone wants to be in charge. And Jessica's like, but I'm in charge. And I'm always in charge. Mm-hmm. Because it's me. Like, he says, Jessica, you're not getting off this phone without giving me an answer. And she says, well, I'm about to get in the car. So actually, one of us is getting off the phone.
Yeah.
And you're not getting an answer. And I'm thinking, yeah, why are y'all still having this conversation? How long have y'all been together? Jessica does not have to do what you want her to do, Jeff Malone. Also, Jessica, if this relationship is going to work, you're going to have to give a little bit. You can't just keep bullying Jeff Malone and hoping that he just has your back for everything. Like, I'm not a Jeff Malone fan, but at the same time, he's making some valid points.
Jessica is also trying to buy a house for her aunt and her cousin. The aunt is very excited. The Aunt Lillian?
Yeah. Aunt Lily, yeah. She's excited, but she also sees that this is absurd, right? Like, Jessica has a ton of money. I don't know if Aunt Lily knows how much money Jessica has. Mm-hmm. Jessica's loaded. She could go buy this house today. No payment plan.
Right.
She could just go put some money, put some cash on it, and be done with it. But she does correctly assess that. Jessica, you think my Angela is about to let you buy us a house? The same Angela that was like, I'm gonna bring back the groceries that you bought when I made breakfast that time. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So it was never gonna go over well, but this is Jessica throwing money at a problem. You know, that's kind of her superpower now. You know, it used to be that Jessica, you know, she was this super powerful person, but now she's just a rich person who is clamoring to have the power that she used to have. And so she's throwing money at this issue. That I felt bad about the housing project. I said I was going to be able to save it. I was not able to say it, that you save it. You have an eviction date. Let me buy you a house so I don't have to hear about this no more. And so that I don't feel so bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it solves all the problems. But Angela's like, of course she's throwing money at it. I don't want her money. I want to be the one to work two jobs and to suffer and make my kids go without so that we can buy a house. It needs to be me. And I'm like, Angela, girl, shut up. Take mm-hmm. the house. Take the house. You're about to be evicted. Stop.
Yeah.
It's her pride. Rob, not only is it her pride, but I also think that you really can't trust large gestures like this. If someone wants to buy you a house, I think you should always be like, kind of like, what? You want to buy me? Like, this house costs how much money? And you just want to give it to me. Mm-hmm. What's the catch? What else? You know what I'm saying? Like, that is such a huge gift for somebody that I think you'd be crazy to not kind of be shrewd about the agreement, you know?
Yeah, but this is her family. Like, it's not like that she's getting scammed. Like, if a stranger wanted to buy you a house, I get that.
I guess essentially a stranger.
She's essentially a stranger, but like they know of her. Like, what if they start by Jessica rents them an apartment?
Right. Something like that.
Could we have an intermediary step? You are being evicted. 90 days. You need a place to stay. You do not have a place to live.
You will have a place to live. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking too. Come in and be like, hey, we're going to move you into another apartment. I'll take over the majority of y'all's rent never goes up. You still pay the same housing projects, prices that you were paying. I just supplement that. So you get a nicer apartment and you don't have to worry about getting evicted.
Yeah.
I think that makes more sense. Yeah. Jessica being like, girl, get you a home. You know,
right.
Like, what?
Jessica's like, I bought the condo. You pay me the rent. I'm the landlord now.
Right. She's like, what? Now you want to be my landlord?
Well, she's like, I wanted to buy you a house.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, how about you just pay the rent to the place to make sure we are, you know, that's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. it's a lot less suspicious if somebody wants to help you make a payment on something as opposed to somebody being like, now I'm in charge of where you live. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, where did that come from? Big rich woman. She showed up like Big Bob Pataki with her beeper on just trying to make decisions. It's like, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame Angela for being shrewd, but also Angela, girl, you about to be homeless. Do something.
Yeah. Okay. So, we get a little bit about the church. The pastor shows up and the pastor's trying to get Jessica to come to church.
he's trying to get her invested in the community.
Yeah.
Again, the people in the community don't trust Jessica because they don't know her. And she's showing up and being like, I work for the mayor. They don't trust the mayor. Your aunt just sued the mayor. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? The city was just sued. And you're like, I work for the city. Yeah, we know. And you're from New York and we don't trust people from New York. So you need to get invested in the community so that when you show up on these people's doorsteps asking all these questions and stuff like that, they at least know who you are, mm-hmm. that we know who you are, because we see that the pastor is doing the same thing Jessica's doing. He's going door to door, talking to people and asking questions and trying to figure out a way to help the people in the projects, where Jessica's kind of like, I want to investigate the mayor. I want to investigate these murders. And then I also want to do the projects thing. And I also want to do this. She spread so thin that the people in the community just see her coming in and utilizing them for whatever she's trying to gain, but not actually being a part of the community, you know? And so it seems like the pastor is trying to get Jessica back on the good foot with the people in Chicago, or at least in this area.
Okay, and Jessica's trying to figure out what's going on with this murder of Carl Jeffries. She's asking like a lot of questions. We find out that Carl Jeffries, he was suing the city, and then he pulled his case from the city, and then he got a lot of money. And then nobody understands why. How did this happen? Somebody gave him money after he stopped suing the city.
The man was suing the police for police brutality. Obviously, if it's like recorded and stuff like that, open and shit. Like, look, you're seeing the brutality. They have to pay him off at this point, or he sues the city for everything. You know, whatever. Like, he's coming for money. He's suffered some damages and he wants some money for it. Okay, cool. He does that. But they say, drop the lawsuit. All right. He drops the lawsuit. Nobody like, oh, okay. Well, he was going to fight the city. It's understandable that you take the payout, whatever. But he drops the lawsuit, shows up with a Range Rover. And it's like, okay, obviously this man was not only paid off, but then he also decided to use his money and be a flashy mofo. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody needs a Range Rover. So people can have a Range Rover, but you don't need a Range Rover. So he shows up with a Range Rover and people like in the hood like, oh, okay. Obviously you don't care about justice. You want the money. Mm-hmm. Fine. Well, then he's killed. And you're thinking, well, if somebody paid him to drop the lawsuit, what's the point in killing him? And so now people are asking the questions. Like, you kill him, but you don't pay him off. There's no point in giving him all the money and then killing him. You just kill him before you pay him off. But that is not what happened here. And so now Jessica's like, well, there has to be a reason why he was killed after he was paid. And yeah. Her number one suspect is her driver, Nick D'Amato.
Yeah. Jessica's going to talk to Carrie about all this also, and Carrie ends up talking to Pat McGann and talking about how Jessica's asking a lot of questions about Carl Jeffries.
Mm-hmm. And Pat McGann's like, well, Carrie, you didn't care when we was, you know, when we made that lawsuit go away, because Carrie loves the police. Like, that is kind of like her thing. She's mm-hmm. She's very pro police. And so she's like, yeah, I know, but I mean, just letting you know that, you know, if you're out here bribing people, the city has nothing to do with it. He's like, okay, well, look, you don't worry about that. And I wasn't the one bribing people. And maybe you shouldn't worry about that so much, because since when is this your business, Carrie? You kind of coming at me like you Bobby's girlfriend or something like that. And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. It feels like this is the worst kept secret in the world. Like, I feel like everybody knows that Bobby's sleeping with Carrie, or at least Carrie's presenting herself like she's so important that it's very obvious that there's something a little bit more than a professional relationship.
People love the gossip, Chappelle.
Well, I mean, she's making it very obvious. She's storming in like his fixer, when from a lot of people's points of view, there's nothing to fix. Mm-hmm. She's like, just so you know, Bobby doesn't need any problems. She's like, okay, well, Bobby's not even here, so why are you here? I'm just saying. It's like, well, are you the deputy mayor? No. Okay, then what are you doing here? I care about Bobby. It's like, why and how? Like, in a sexual way, you know? And so that's why the Pat McGann is giving Carrie nothing in these moments.
So we find out, so Nick is like working for Pat McGann and he's keeping an eye on Jessica, but also that Nick, I think, is starting to like at least like have some warm feelings towards Jessica. He's not just doing the bidding of Pat McGann.
Right. He works for Bobby. He's moonlighting for Pat McGann, and now he's Jessica's driver. So he's got his feet, you know, in and out of both of these circles. And so for him, he's like, yeah, I see Jessica's trying to do good work in the city, and she's trying to find out who killed this guy. Like, it's like, I can't really scoff at that. This is nothing that, you know, he probably doesn't want for his city, but Pat McGann is only here for money. He's only here to for money and for control of this neighborhood for somebody who we haven't talked about yet, some random undisclosed person. And I guess at the end of the episode, but
yeah, it's like he's like working with like some like Asian investors to like you know, whatever gentrification project of like, you know, big money coming in, and they want to like have real estate investments coming in.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so I think Nick looks at all the causes and is like, well, Jessica's not a bad cause to kind of support. I mean, what is she doing that's wrong? But he's also keeping an eye on Jessica, because he tells Pat McGann, like, no, I'm keeping her close to me, because then I can see if she's getting close to any of my shady dealings. And Pat McGann yells at him like, no, fool, she's hiring you to stay close to you. She's investigating you, because again, she thinks that that Nick was the gunman. She thinks that Nick is the one who actually killed Carl Jeffries. Turns out, Nick is the one who paid him off.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Chappelle, we're going to see where, as Jessica is investigating what's going on in this Carl Jeffries case, that they end up talking about it with Aunt Lillian. She goes to see Angela in the laundromat, and she ends up finding out from Angela that it was the Four Corner Royals might have had something to do with Carl's death. And Jessica would like Angela to take her to go meet the Four Corner Royals.
Jessica is a very intelligent woman, but this is so stupid. Jessica is like, oh, a street gang. Well, introduce me to them. As she's wearing the most expensive outfit in the laundromat. Like, she's in a... I think this might have been Jessica's first time ever stepping foot into a laundromat.
Yeah.
Because why are you dressed like that? Why? And so Angela even tells her, like, could you change clothes when we go there? Because what are you doing? Who are you trying to impress? Mm-hmm. Jessica showed up like she was going to a board meeting or like a banquet or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she was like set up to go have a meeting like with Robert Zane.
Right, exactly. A lunch, like a dinner. Mm-hmm. This is the laundromat, ma'am. So she goes to change into her street clothes, and she looked completely unrecognizable just because she was wearing clothes that people could actually afford outside of her. They meet at this like bodega's house, like corner store, and in the back is where the Royals be at. And Angela's like, okay, follow my lead. You know, let me do all the talking. But of course, like, Jessica gets back there. She's demanding answers. And I really enjoyed this scene because I was just like rolling my eyes at Jessica the entire time.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you feel like the meeting went with Jessica and the leader of the Four Corner Royals?
Not great. Jessica almost got them killed, basically, because she's in there asking questions. She's like reaching for her purse as if she's going to do something. This lady has pepper spray.
Yeah.
Ma'am. That, what you gonna do? What you gonna pepper spray somebody to death? Really? That ain't gonna do nothing. You know, at best, you gonna piss them off, and then you gonna be running out of the little corner store trying to get down the street. You work for the mayor's office. You cannot hide. Mm. You know, like what did she think was going to happen? She's like, I had my mace, girl. Shut up. You know, I thought it was a very funny scene. Obviously, the Royals guy, he's like, you. I mean, I could do you this favor, but why would I? His name is Kevin Dawson. Kevin Dawson, like, I don't know why you think I would just start talking to the mayor's office. Like, what do you think this is? And Jessica's like, I mean, it'd be nice if you did that. Also, I could owe you a favor later on. It'd be nice for that. And they make it out. They do. But they learn in that moment that, yeah, Kevin Dawson says, Carl Jeffries owed somebody money and then showed up with a Range Rover, so he had to be dealt with. It's like, you can't owe somebody money and then go buy a Range Rover, because that person hasn't been paid. And if you got Range Rover money, you got money to pay me back.
Yeah.
And so that's the end of the road for the Carl Jeffries story, as far as we're convinced by this episode. Now, does it come back up in future episodes? Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't think so, though. I think this is the end of that story.
Yeah. And Nick does feel bad about the whole thing, even though he wasn't like directly responsible for what happened to Carl, but, you know, was responsible for like getting him the payoff that ultimately got him the Range Rover, which got him killed.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Nick D'Amato gave him the money.
Yeah.
And so Nick D'Amato, like, yeah, I thought giving him the money would obviously get him off the backs of the police. Nick D'Amato being a former police officer, he's probably invested in that as well. And he's like, yeah, but this guy is he's on drugs. He's impoverished and he's not like the smartest person. So Carl Jeffries does what people in those situations normally do. Mm-hmm. They go and spend a lot of money. And so he did. And it put a huge target on his back. Not only did he drop investigation against the police, which, I mean, if you are a shady businessman, you want nothing more than the police to be like, put the attention on them, please. But he drops this investigation and he goes and splurges a bunch of money. And so now Carl Jeffries needs to be dealt with. And so in order to pay his debt, they took his life.
Let's talk about the other storyline that's going on in this episode, where Derek gets assigned to work with Lloyd Triple. And Lloyd wants to, he wants to have a street named after named after his childhood friend.
He wants to get a street named after Fred Hampton, the Black Panther. We find out that he grew up with Fred Hampton, but this means a lot to Lloyd. So he says, I really want to make this thing happen. Fred Hampton's a big deal here in Chicago, or at least should be a bigger deal. I want to name a street after him. And Derek is like, I don't really know Fred Hampton's story like that. And so Lloyd says, exactly. That's the problem. You grew up in Chicago, you're Black, and you went to college. And at no point you learned the history of Fred Hampton. That's crazy. Let's shine some light on this person that in a certain neighborhood, he's very popular, but the larger city of Chicago should know the story of Fred Hampton. And so that's the red wagon Lloyd is pulling in this episode. Mm-hmm. And Derek's entire job in this episode is to just stall, because Carrie wants Bobby to come back and shut this all down so that they don't piss off the police officers again.
We can't name one street.
Again, that's what Derek said. He's like, it's one street. But the story of Fred Hampton is that he was a Black Panther who was murdered by the FBI. And so Carrie, being so pro-cop, she's not willing to bend there, because she's like, what if I piss off the police again? You know, I don't want to piss off. We already did that with Jessica once. We've done, like, she sued the city. You know, she's really trying to keep that side of the of Chicago at bay by not giving in to these bigger moments and giving Lloyd what he wants. But yeah, everybody else is like, it's just a street. Go get some signatures, change the name of the street, move on. But Carrie's like, I'm in charge. You might be deputy mayor, but you're an old man and I don't have to listen to you, because Bobby left me in charge, not you.
Yeah. I like this character. I'm sad we're not going to see him on any more episodes.
Me too, because I like the fact that he was standing up for the story of Fred Hampton. You know, he talks about him as an activist and a Black Panther and a hero or whatever. Rob, could you guess how old Fred Hampton was when he was murdered? Now, we know he grew up with Lloyd here, but how long do you think he was alive?
35.
Fred Hampton was murdered in his bed in his sleep at 21 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So the FBI conspired to murder a 21-year-old that was a hero in the community because he was attached to the Black Panthers, who had done nothing in the community. And Fred Hampton was also vilified. And they obviously, based on what we heard in this story, they paid the family $1 million. They threw the lawsuit, I mean, the case out against the FBI, paid the family $1 million and built him a statue and moved on. And the story of Fred Hampton is not largely known by a lot of people. Even Derek in this episode says, like, I'm from Chicago and I didn't know. So that's why this means so much to Lloyd, because they did this to a 21-year-old while he was asleep. And not only did the shot that initial shot did not kill him, they shot him twice more for good measure while he was asleep. So yeah, Lloyd is trying to show what exactly was going on in Chicago and the type of people that were making those decisions, and the reason why there's so much tension between law enforcement and, you know, the poorer side of town or the Black community or the side of town that even Lloyd grew up in. And so for him, it was his childhood friend, but the guy was killed at 21. So this was his childhood friend until he was still basically a child. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and no, he had only been an adult for several years before his life was taken. So it means a lot to Lloyd. He wants it to mean a lot to everybody, but they're basically just trying to stall him until Bobby gets there.
Yeah, so him and Derek go out and they're getting their signatures and is just trying to stall. But Derek and Lloyd like have some, you know, build a relationship that Derek goes to Carrie and is like, come on, can we just do this? She's like, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I don't want to, because it's going to look bad for Bobby. He's like, will it look bad for Bobby or will it look bad for you?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I mean, both of those things.
Yeah.
Eventually, Derek goes and talks to Yoli.
Yoli,
who is being in everybody business. She says, people keep telling me, Jessica keeps telling me to butt out of stuff, so I'm gonna try to stay in my lane. But Derek, when he pushes for her to speak her mind, she says, all right, well, put your foot down.
Stand up.
Literally stand up. What is Carrie gonna do? Fire you? I think you'll be fine. And so he tells her, like, speak up. And so the half measure here is that Derek tells Carrie, what you're doing is wrong. Stop trying to silence the deputy mayor. He is a man who grew up in this community. He has seen the struggles of many sides of this town. He is in a position of leadership, and he's an old guy. And it's not respectful to treat your elders like that. And so go talk to this man. Tell him straight up, I'm not doing that. And be real with him, because it's disrespectful what you're doing. And so she does. She goes to him and says, yeah, this thing is never going to happen, but I do respect you and your position. And I know we should probably give you like more reverence as somebody who has helped be a part of this community that now we see as Chicago and the Pearson universe.
Yeah. There's a scene at the end of the episode where Carrie goes back to talk to Lloyd about how that she's not going to sign off on the street. And Lloyd has some advice for Carrie as she's going through her life in politics.
Yeah. Don't let your loyalty to the mayor turn you into something you hate. And I think that that's exactly what this, like, that's exactly what she should be taking from this. You know, Pat McGann is using his influence to push the poor people out of the city. Whereas like someone like Fred Hampton, who as I've talked about, has been vilified and murdered at the age of 21, was trying to uplift people from poverty. So do you support the Pat McGann side of stuff, or do you support the Fred Hampton side of stuff? Like, where do you land on this? Because you're so busy trying to silence me in this conversation for Fred Hampton that you're empowering somebody like Pat McCann to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so he's just like, just, you know, not to make any accusations of you, but maybe look at what's happening here. Maybe be more loyal to the city and your own beliefs than you are to Bobby. It also might be a little like dig at her also, because, you know, she's a side chick and, you know, probably doesn't love that.
Yeah.
So she's like, hey, why don't you remember that, you know, you're loyal to Bobby, but do you like yourself when you're being loyal to Bobby? Because you're definitely a married man's girlfriend right now.
Yeah. Do you think it would have been interesting if Jessica was involved in the storyline where maybe she could have gotten it over the finish line?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if Fred Hampton has a street named after him in Chicago. So I think like it would be very bad on Chicago for the show to get it happened, and then the city of Chicago was like, nope, still no. But yeah, I would have loved to see Jessica's take on it, because Jessica you know, she's probably familiar with Fred Hampton, but she also does not come from this area. So she does not have the same connection to it, the same that like Lloyd would have, right? And you probably don't expect this coming from like an older white gentleman, which is another reason why the story has so much nuance, because you're like, well, why does it matter so much to you specifically? He's like, because I grew up here. This was my friend. Whereas Jessica does not have those ties. And so I wonder if Jessica, where Jessica would have landed on this argument, because her job, first and foremost, is to make things life easy for Bobby. And, you know, that would not be making life easy for Bobby. So I wonder what Jessica would have done in that situation. We never get to find out.
Jessica's going to end the episode finally going to church. She sees Angela singing at the church. Was that a surprise to Jessica? Did she know that Angela was in the choir?
I think she knew Jessica goes to church. I don't think she knew Jessica like was in the choir. And Jessica had a solo. I mean, I'm sorry. Angela was in the choir and Angela had a solo. Like, so Angela, she's like, she doesn't know these people, Rob. That's why they don't trust her. She shows up. She's like, girl, you sing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lady, how long have you been here? You don't know I'm the lead singer of the choir? Are you really trying to get to know your friends and family? Or are you just using them for whatever, you know, ghost chase that you're on right now? I don't really know. You know, why Jessica can't tell, these people can't trust her, but everybody else is trying to pull her in. She just needs to let go and allow them to do it.
Okay. Chappelle, anything else from this episode?
No. I thought the episode was very interesting. Like I said, you do get the history of Fred Hampton in Chicago. You get the movement with Jessica being more ingratiated in the community. I mean, now she even knows a local drug dealer. You know, what a difference one episode can make.
Yeah, they don't have to go to the coffee cart guy.
Exactly. Yeah, that too. I'm sorry. I don't know if this man deals drugs. I know he does drugs, and he's also gang related. So she knows the leader of a local gang. But again, she's more ingratiated.
It's not what you know; it's who you know.
Exactly. And she didn't know anybody in the community. She showed up here, a foreign person, where everybody was like, "You're from New York. You don't fit in here. You don't know how things go on here." Yet in this episode alone, she got to know a lot of people in the community, and so I don't have a huge issue with the episode as a whole. I just wish that there was a little bit more excitement. You know, right now it's a lot of like, this is like almost like a procedural, you know? And I'm like, you know, it's not Suits. And I really enjoyed Suits. I think I'm like,
it's tonally, it's a very different show.
It's not what we signed up for, but I don't hate it. You know, and I think Jessica is a compelling character. I think they would probably do better to inject him a little bit more of the relationship building with Jessica and some of these other characters, because I thought Yoli was going to be her Mike Ross. And it looks like she's like, no, get away from me, Yoli. Don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me about Jeff Malone. Don't ask me about my aunt. She's shutting down what I thought we were going toward.
Yeah.
Yoli and Derek have like one scene in episode, so I don't even get the will they, won't they from them. Bobby's gone, so you don't even get to talk about the mess with him and Carrie. Yeah, very interesting episode to put in the middle of the season.
It's a show. It's not bad, but it's not Suits.
It's not must-see TV. You know, Suits was lightning in a bottle, I think. So much that it even struck twice. But I think that here, yeah, maybe if they had given it a second season, it would have had time to develop into a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But right now, it feels like a slow burn. And I don't know. I think knowing that there's only 10 episodes, you know, I know that we don't have that much more for it to burn very bright.
So this weekend is going to be the Super Bowl coming up. And so a lot of hype out here in Suits Nation for a Suits Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, Suits Super Bowl commercial.
You see the latest news also?
No, last thing I saw was I thought it was Lewis Lid, Donna, and Jessica. Is that the three?
Yeah, and I feel like that I thought that I saw that. Is Judge Judy involved also?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What is Judge Judy going to do here?
Judge Judy, actually, I think that we could probably look at. I kind of want to see it on the Super Bowl. I kind of don't want to get spoiled. But Judge Judy is involved with this as well. Judge Judy is involved with Lewis and Jessica and Donna.
Oh, so the commercial already dropped.
Yeah, what? They leak these Super Bowl commercials. Like, you could watch all the Super Bowl commercials like on YouTube a couple days before. And it's we're recording this on Thursday, and that it's like it's more like a Judge Judy episode, but then all like the Suits characters are in Judge Judy's courtroom.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun. Because imagine if Judge Judy was a judge in the Suits universe, right? Mm-hmm. Where Mike Ross is in there lying and Judge Judy's just like yelling at him.
On Judge Judy.
Yeah, but she's yelling at him at the courtroom. Like, she's not going to deal with a lot of, like, Lewis posturing and Harvey yelling about stuff. Like, Judge Judy's going to take control. She will be the star of that show. I don't want to wait until Super Bowl. I think I might watch it tomorrow. I might watch the clip because, you know, during the Super Bowl, if you blink, you might actually miss one of these commercials.
Be on the lookout also for Meghan Trainor is also going to be there.
Ah, all about that base, Meghan Trainor, right?
Okay.
I wonder what she has to say about
this. Then also RuPaul's Drag Race alum Heidi in Closet.
Okay. I don't know Heidi in Closet. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what is happening in the commercial, but it sounds like a lot. And like most Super Bowl commercials are, right? So I'm looking for a spectacle and I'm hoping that we keep this Suits mania going. I really thought, I like that we had Suits on the Emmy, Suits in the commercial, and we know Suits is coming soon.
It's hot.
Suits LA.
Yo.
But in the meantime, what are we going to do to keep the Suits light burning? I think that it's, you know, they can't let it lose steam. It's like, I honestly think they waited a pinch too long to get the rollout for Suits LA.
Okay. And then also that there's going to be some more Suits people on Lone Star.
Yeah.
Podcast Lone Star?
No, we don't. I don't think Lone Star is Suits. And I think that we would be disappointed there as well. Yeah, but this crazy trio was added to the cast for 9-1-1. So Gina Torres was already in it.
Yeah.
But now
Jeff Malone,
Sean Cahill, and is that Katrina Bennett?
Katrina.
Yeah. Now, I do like me some Katrina and some Sean Cahill, Jeff Malone, you know. Mm-hmm. I like D.B. Woodside and other things. I will say that. So maybe, just maybe, maybe I'd be willing to check that out. As long as he's not playing Jeff Malone. Because D.B. Woodside in The Temptations, that was a moment.
Okay. Who gets the gritty today?
Jessica?
Okay.
Did she do anything? Did anybody do anything?
She brought the pepper spray to the meeting with the gang.
Dummy. I mean, it's better than bringing nothing, but Jessica, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it. Give it to Jessica. I think I've already, unless somebody just does something spectacular, I'm all in on Jessica getting all the gritties.
All the gritties.
I would have made the argument for Lloyd if he was able to get that street name changed, but he didn't get it changed. He failed. And so you get no positive feedback from me there, Lloyd. You good shot, but no cigar. No gritty for you.
All right. So we'll be back next week. We'll be halfway through season one of what's going on Pearson.
Yeah. And then it's a mid-season finale that's coming, or are we just gonna go
I don't know if they're gonna do it Suits style. I mean, it's only a 10 episode season, where the Suits episodes used to be 16 episodes and then have a mid-season finale at 10. I don't think they canceled it at the mid-season finale.
Oh, yeah. So, no, we probably don't have a huge episode coming up for number 5. Mm-hmm. So, more of Pearson to come.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm ready to complete the story. But, Rob, with us only having 5 more weeks of Pearson, I have to ask, is this the end of Suits Yourself? Are we just going to, like, not talk about? I mean, Pearson's the last bit of the story for now.
It's the last bit of the story for now. But then we have to maybe hope that we're going to get Suits LA.
And hopefully it comes quickly and we don't have to wait like 2-3 years for it. I know it's a
no, we're not going to have to wait that long. They're saying that from what I understand, they're shooting the pilot now to hopefully get a pickup for the fall.
Gotcha. So in the fall, we might have to run this back. Okay. That makes me feel a lot
better. And then look at us. We're positioned, ready to go.
The Preeminent Suits Podcast. And we have a ton of Suits in the chamber.
Dare I say the, pretty official Suits recap podcast.
Yeah. Can I make a suggestion about our Suits coverage?
Please.
So I think that like the past episodes, the archives, we might need those, you know, with Suits LA coming, because people might want to binge all of it. And I don't know if it's like accessible because it's on suitspodcast.com.
Oh, okay. That's an off podcast meeting that we can have. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there because I've gotten some feedback. They're like, maybe I think someone said that maybe the podcast feed doesn't show the back stuff. And I want everybody to experience all the Suits, Rob.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll look into that. We'll get that all straightened out. Okay, Chappelle, where can people keep up with you?
At recapkickback.com.
Yeah. what else are you working on these days?
Everything. We're doing the top five of like these different movie genres and like television genres, but they black, Rob. And so me and Mari are talking about the top five black dramas, classic black dramas this week with our special guest, the Purple Pants badass himself, Bryce Isaiah. So people can check that out. If you want to contribute to our ranking system and do your own survey, you can go to the podcast feed on Recap Kickback, wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can go to the YouTube comments and the show notes in the YouTube comment. Oh, I'm sorry, the YouTube show notes, and click the survey link and submit your own so that when we go in to do our next recap, which is the top five black comedies, then we will have your data as well. We will talk about them next week. So those are the big things coming for me. But you can also, of course, support and follow me on all platforms, Recap Kickback. That's Instagram, Twitter, and then I think it's recap_kickback on TikTok.
Okay. All right. Chappelle, great job here today. Thank you all so much for joining us to talk some Pearson. We'll be back next time. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.